That song, as I was paging through the hymnal, making choices for this Sunday, the phrase that stuck out to me is a pilgrim in this barren land. As believers, we are called, believers in Christ, we are strangers and pilgrims. And isn't it that song is full of metaphors, full of illustrations, thing that poetic verse and so forth. But I look at that and I apply barren land as to the way we are to look at this world. This world is not where our fruit is going to come from. We're looking for a different place. I like that hymn. Hopefully that encouraged you this morning. Let's take our Bibles, and I want to take you to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, you may have seen this on the announcement boards as you came in. I have a message entitled Seeking the Lord. And I want to take a look this morning at what is possibly a very familiar biblical admonition to seek the Lord. But I think it's something that has great potential to encourage us and direct us in times of trial, times of trouble, as we walk as pilgrims through this barren land in these times in which we live. And that is to seek the Lord. I love the Psalm of David in Psalm 27 and in verse 8. You'll see this. It's a very simple verse, but it says these words, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face." In other words, that's a call by God. Seek my face. You seek my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In other words, he responded to that call. He responded to that statement by the Lord himself. Obviously, poetry, there's a sense in which we look at what David is trying to express, but I think it has a great expression that he was giving himself to seek after the Lord. All right, a number of verses. I'll try to have you look at some. I've written some out for you to say, but let me take you first of all, to 1 Corinthians. It's a New Testament passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as you turn the pages, and I do as well, and we get there, here's what I want to share with you. I've grouped the biblical texts that mention or talk about seeking the Lord. I've grouped them in three ways. Right? And so that's for you to know. There's actually, it's found Old and New Testament. There are many biblical texts. There are a variety of ways that it's expressed. There are commandments. There are, there's encouragements. There's narrative, and there's warning passages. All sorts of different ways that this idea of seeking the Lord is expressed. Three of them form the groupings here this morning. Number one, seeking the Lord is a direction of my life as well as present choices I make. So the two key words, it's direction and then actually three, present choices. All right, so I want to show you some of these things in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, but first Jeremiah 45 verse 5 says this, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." So I can seek great things for myself. You're getting a sense. I can do that. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 and 24. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." That's a general principle, but here's what he goes on to say. "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's." And in italicized print, wealth. I think I prefer in the text to tie that back to verse 23, where it says, "All things edify not." So I don't seek my own, verse 24, but every every man another's edification. I think that's the sense. Wealth is not bad. You just have to expand as what does that wealth mean? It doesn't mean monetary or anything like that. But you can see that while I can do many things that I should not seek things for me, but I should seek to edify others. All right. So what I'm trying to show you is it's a direction of my life as far as present choices that I make. Listen to this and actually go to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll give you Galatians 1 while you're turning there, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. Galatians 1, verse 10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" The context of Galatians 1 is Paul was saying, there is another gospel. There are other gospels than the one gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, if any man believe in another gospel or teach another gospel, let him be accursed. All right, strong words. And then he goes on to say, he says, am I trying to persuade you or God? Do I seek to please men? And the idea is, no, he's not trying to please men. He's trying to please God. For if I yet please men, it says, I should not be the servant of Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, familiar to you. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are the unsaved. They are those that do not know Christ. Obviously, it would have a reference to those who are not Jewish. This is one of these categories in the New Testament. It says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. What things? You go back and look at what I should eat, the clothing, all these things that I become anxious about. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things, so don't seek after them. And in verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is to do the things that are right, to do the things that he tells me are right. I think here it's a synonym for that would be holiness, although that's not the same word that's used. And all these things shall be added unto you. So those are what we see are, I shared with you, are directions of my life. All right, I, in other words, the direction of my life is not seeking after my own. It's not seeking after my own benefit. The direction of my life is not seeking after things that I think are going to satisfy or that I think I need. It's the direction of my life is not to please men, but to please God. That's a direction of my life. But so I can ask myself, is the direction of my life to seek the Lord? I believe if it is, then my present choices that I make will be to seek the Lord in those present choices. Because that's the pathway that I'm on. That's the direction I'm having. Is I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so that's the reference. If I'm not making present choices to seek the Lord, can I really say that seeking the Lord is the direction of my life? Just a thought. So if I'm not seeking the Lord right now, can I say to myself the direction of my life is to seek the Lord? I need to realize, and these came out in those texts, that I can be seeking other things. So if I'm going in a particular direction, I need to realize that was going to affect what I do at the present time and the choices that I need to make. I think it's also a possibility, and I'm going to share with you, because I'm sure you're going to think of it, that I can be going in a different direction. In other words, seeking the Lord is this way. I can be going in another direction, seeking my own, seeking wealth and things like that, but I'm going to... And they say, I get to a point where things get so difficult that I'm going to seek after God. I have more to say on that in just a few moments and how we seek after the Lord. But the idea is, if the direction of my life is to seek myself, and now suddenly things are so hard that I'm seeking after the Lord or asking him in the present choices to do something in my life, am I really going to find God? Am I really going to have his blessing? And I think not. You know, then you could make the case that if things get so hard that suddenly I seek after the Lord, that really what I'm doing is seeking after me. I want things to be relieved for me. I'm not seeking after him and his righteousness. A thought as we do that. So seeking the Lord is a direction of my life, and it's also present choices that I make. I think we want to understand, or at least have in our mind, that dynamic. Secondly, take your Bibles, go with me to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles is easy to find because it comes after 1 Chronicles, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles 26. I'm going to share with you several things. Let me give you the point, and then I'm going to use this to illustrate this point. The point is this: there are blessings and warnings attached to seeking the Lord. So there's kind of a dual matter in point number one. It's a direction and present choices that I make. That's what God wants. Number two, there are blessings and warnings attached to seeking the Lord. Now there's many other things that you can see blessings and warnings about. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29. Stay in 2 Chronicles, but Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek with him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So there are blessings. He says he's not playing this celestial game of hide and seek. He wants to be found. He wants to be found. He says, "But you have to seek me with all." That's a blessing that I have that promise. 2 Chronicles is in the historical context. If you remember the time that David is attempting to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and in that process, there's a first attempt where a man by the name of Uzziah dies because he reaches out and steadies the cart, and it seems like an odd matter. That God would judge. But listen to 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5. It says, "And he sought the days." This is Uzziah. I got the other one coming up in just a moment. I had the wrong reference. "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." You see it's a general promise, but the idea is as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Can you see the similarities to Matthew 6? "And all these things will be added unto you." I mean, these are promises. These are blessings that are mine if I will seek after the Lord. I'm sorry about the wrong reference. Psalm 34, verse 4. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Are you fearful? Seek the Lord. There's a promise. He will deliver us from his fears. Ezra chapter 8, verse 22 says, "The hand of our God is upon them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against them that forsake him." So there's a dual role even in that verse, but he says it's upon us. The hand of our Lord is upon us for good. That's what we want. It's a blessing to have the hand of God upon us. Psalm 34, verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Once again, Psalms is poetry. It's not giving us a deductive statement or a definite statement of doctrine, but you see, that there's a sense that we won't lack things if we seek after the Lord. All of these references and more fit together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Actually, we're in 2 Chronicles. Go to chapter 7 and let's put our eyes on this as well as our thoughts. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Familiar to you. I've preached on it. You've read it. You hear it in print, see it in print many times, referenced in many different contexts. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, okay, in the Old Testament, that's God's people, the nation of Israel. You need to extend that. You need to apply that. Who are God's people today? Those who believe in Jesus Christ have placed their trust in him. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, see the next phrase, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. So there's a number of matters there, but notice, seek his face. What shall happen? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. There's references there. I've included them all in the idea. These are blessings that come from seeking the Lord. That's what we want. There are also warnings that come. Let me take you to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. As you turn there, let me give you 1 Chronicles 15, verse 33. This is the reference of the ark coming to Jerusalem. Uzzah dies because he reaches out and touches the court, touches the cart. As you go to Psalm 78, let me read 1 Chronicles 15, 13, where it is looking back and it says, what went wrong? Basically, an expression of what went wrong the first time they tried to bring that cart where this tragedy happened with Uzzah. Verse 13 says, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. In other words, they didn't seek him and follow his plan for moving the ark. They didn't seek him. They didn't seek to do that. So that's a warning, right? That how many times do we go out on our own and we only seek God if we get in trouble? He says, you know, the issue is that we need to seek God and follow the due order that he gives to us. Psalm 78, verse 28, this is a historical reference or a summary of an event that happens during the time of the Egyptian wanderings. But Psalm 78, verse 28, we read this. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. Actually, back up to verse 27, he rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Verse 29, so they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wonderful works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Can I just pause and say this? They got what they wanted. They were filled. But you know what? Their days were filled with vanity and trouble. That's a warning. It's meant to be a warning to us. That's why it's repeated. Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Psalm 81. If my people would not hearken to my voice, Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and that Israel had walked in my ways. I should have soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. So let me try to illustrate this with something that is familiar to you that I've used in different occasions. But the idea is that if I don't seek the Lord, it will cost me something. Right? It costs me. So there are these warnings of what it will cost me. But I think we do sometimes a very poor job of calculating what something costs. So if I start here and say, all right, this is where I'm at now, if I don't seek after the Lord, if I do seek after the Lord, I've got all of these blessings. All right, let me go this way with the blessings. So if I seek after the Lord, I have all of these blessings. And if I don't seek after, I start here, if I don't seek after the Lord, all of these warnings, trouble, vanity, leanness of soul. You say, so what does it cost me to not seek after the Lord? I suggest to you, not this much, but this much. It's not just what happens because I don't seek the Lord. It's what I miss out on because I haven't sought the Lord. I suggest to us that seeking the Lord obviously is something he wants me to do. He says, seek my face. But it's also something that I need to recognize. There's great blessings in doing that, and there's great curses or there's warnings if I don't. And let's calculate the cost and come to the conclusion, like David, that thy face, Lord, will I seek, not just in the direction of my life, but in the present choices that I make. Second Chronicles, all right? Second Chronicles chapter 12. These are, of course, our narrative portions, but I love these little phrases that give me a sense. So the idea is that I seek the Lord as a direction of my life, but my present choices. Secondly, there are blessings and warnings attached to seeking the Lord. I need to know those. Thirdly, I am not left in the dark about how to seek the Lord. Right? So that's the other grouping of verses that I want to share with you. I'm not left in the dark about how I go about doing that. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. Listen to what it says. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That's actually a phrase that you're going to find again in the Old Testament reference to these kings and so forth. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Can I suggest to you that seeking the Lord involves making a choice and preparing my heart that is going to be the direction of my life? I am going to seek after the Lord. You say, well, what will that do? When a present choice happens where I need God's wisdom, then what will I do? Because I have prepared my heart, I'm going to seek after the Lord. If I don't make that decision that I'm going to go in that direction, I believe what we'll get to is we'll get to these times when I have to make choices, and we're going to try to decide whether I'm going to seek the Lord or not. Why not settle it now? Thy face, Lord, will I seek, as the psalmist says. I'm going to do that. So when something comes up, I seek after the Lord. Well, I think I'll just do the big things. Which are the big things? Which are the little things? Set your mind, prepare your heart that you are going to seek after the Lord. Seeking after the Lord always involves two disciplines. I prepare my heart, but I need to practice these two disciplines. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The two disciplines are these. The written word. I seek after the Lord in the written word. And secondly, it's prayer. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I seek the Lord in two ways. Say, how do I go after seeking him? Seek him in his word. That's his revelation to us. Complete inerrant, and it's living. That is his revelation to seek him, and he's going to be found. How am I going to find him? In his word. So if you say you prepare your heart in God's word to seek after him. Prayer is the second one. That's understandable. We've addressed that, I guess, within the year as we talked about prayer. But if I do the word only and don't pray, I believe that lacks sincerity. In other words, why wouldn't I want to ask God? Why wouldn't I want to seek him in prayer? Why would not I not want to pour out my heart before him? I think because I'm not convinced that that's really what I want to do. And it's not prayer only. I'm going to seek God in prayer. And you say, why isn't it just prayer only? Because let me ask you this, how is God going to answer? He answers through his word and the Holy Spirit taking that word and applying it to my heart. How many times have I heard, or you don't know that, I've heard many times someone say this, well, I've prayed about it, and this is what I think God wants me to do. And I take him to the word, and let me say, this is why God says you're not to do that. Right? So you understand that this idea of seeking the Lord involves these two disciplines, prayer and the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you this last. So I'm not left into the dark as to how to seek the Lord. And the first part of that is prepare my heart. Second part of that is it involves these two disciplines of the written word and prayer. The third part of this is seeking the Lord involves time. All right, so let me try to explain that from this passage, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, there's our word, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know this, you probably even have a note in your Bible by now, that the tense of those words, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present tense, which means keep on doing that. Keep on doing that. So there's a continuous sense to that, and I've translated that idea into seeking the Lord involves time. It's not just one time. Right? Not just one time. I need to keep on asking, keep on seeking. It's not just one time, but it's also not an expectation of an instant answer. Now, I know there's times when we are caught and we shoot up, I've heard them called arrow prayers, you know, what do I do now, Lord? You know, I got to make a decision right now. But if I'm really seeking after the Lord, I'm going to be seeking after him over time and keep on asking him. You say, well, if I seek him in prayer and the word, I've prayed about it, I've read the word, and I still don't know what I should do. I do. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking his word. And you know, keep on seeking after him. It involves time that I want. I think the continuous sense shows my faith in doing that. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. I think there needs to be a continuous sense to that. And then Jeremiah 29, 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So this is the last one in this section. I think the seeking of the Lord involves a wholeheartedness. And I know you have the sense of it. Let me try to explain him. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Isn't that the case where we kind of, you say, what is the double-minded? In this sense of seeking after the Lord, a double-minded person is, well, I know I should seek after the Lord, but I kind of want to seek after something else. What is that? Double-minded, divided. And you say, well, what do you say, wholehearted? It's not whole. It's not one. So he wants me to seek after him with my whole heart. I include in this the idea of curiosity seekers. God, I'm curious what you want me to do. I think God sometimes, I don't mean to be blasphemous, I think God sometimes says, well, that's nice. I don't think he's in the business of revealing his will to those who are just curious. He's going to be found by those who seek after him with all their heart, wholeheartedness. And so it brings us right back to the beginning. It's the direction of my life. Seek my face. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I set my direction. That will affect my present choices, because I've already prepared my heart that that's what I'm going to do, is seek after the Lord. Then I realize, they say, maybe I'm struggling with whether to, because there's going to be a battle within us. I think by nature, our sin nature does not seek after the Lord. Our sin nature seeks after self and other things. Material matters, seeks after the world. That's what the Gentiles are after. That's what our sin nature seeks after. We still have that. So there's going to be battles that take place, challenges that we have to address. So I think there needs to be cemented in my mind the blessings of seeking after the Lord, and then the warnings, the curses that will come if I don't seek after the Lord. And let's just get better at math. Let's just get better at making these choices. Why would we ever choose this much to cost us? Why would we ever choose trouble and vanity? Why would we ever choose leanness of soul? And then finally you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I think the Bible does give us that sense. Prepare our thoughts, to prepare our heart to follow after him. Follow these two disciplines. No, just here's what I need to do. I think we have to realize that God is not going to speak to us in an audible voice telling us his way. He's going to do that through his written word. Seeking the Lord involves time, and seeking the Lord involves a wholeheartedness in what I do. Psalm 27, verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Let's be a people that are seeking after the Lord, shall we? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom it brings us, the guidance it provides. Lord, I'm thankful that you will be found if we seek for you in a particular way. Lord, I'm thankful for the blessings that you provide to us. Even in the midst of trying times, you will provide your perfect blessings in your perfect way. Lord, cause us to rest upon that. Instill within us, from the youngest up to the oldest here today, this idea that we need to commit ourselves to seeking after you in all things, including our present choices, including the things that we do as that are big things in our lives, but also the little things. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. 687, we're going to close our service. And a song that is kind of resonate in your thoughts, because we sing it often to just fill our minds as we get ready to go. 687, revive thy work, O Lord. Let's stand as we sing.